Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thing happened to William and Stanley on their way to college.
At what point did you shoot the clerk?
They got framed for murder.
Whoa! Wait a minute!
Now, two kids from New York are in deep trouble.
It's time to make your phone call.
The Klan's here. They're in bed. They sleep with their sisters.
In the deep South.
Some of them do.
And only one man can save them.
We need to call an attorney, a great attorney.
He's not your typical hero.
We got an attorney in the family.
Great, who?
He's...
my cousin Vinny.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
You graduated from law school 6 years ago. What have you been doing since?
Studying for the bar. That's a lot of studying. What's this over here?
You never heard of grits?
Sure. I just actually never seen a grit before.
Welcome to Rewatchability. It's the podcast where we rewatch old movies and see how they hold up today. In the modern eye.
In 2020 with 2020 vision.
We'll never get it wrong. I'm Robert LaRonde. With me, as always, is...
Blaine Waters.
And today we have a huge movie, very important movie in the history of cinema for a number of reasons.
Wow.
And one of the big reasons that we're talking about it is because today the Oscars were announced, the nominations are out there, and it all ties together, believe you me.
Rob will build the case later on.
That's right. But before we get into that, we should first of all thank our Patreons.
Thank you.
Those are the people who give us a little bit of money each month, and that helps us keep the podcast going, keeps the lights on.
Yeah, you're like our jury that finds us innocent each week. Or guilty.
What?
I don't know.
Are we sure that we want to give them that sort of power?
To send us to jail? Yeah, maybe not. Maybe
I plead the fifth.
Well, thank you for going to patreon.com/rewatchability and giving us that $135.
Yeah.
It's great.
And if you do, you get some perks. Or, what do you call it when you, like, agree to not go to trial? A settlement? You get a settlement.
Settle for us.
In the terms of the podcast early.
Yeah.
And ad-free.
Yeah, that's great. You don't want to skip, like, maybe you're listening to us on a run. You don't want to skip forward.
No.
Your phone's going to fall out, smash.
No.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. So this will allow you to do that.
Exactly. It's a cheat code.
But today we're talking about My Cousin Vinny. Huge movie, very important, as I said. And the reason why I thought that it would be great to talk about this is because it's one of Blaine's favorite movies.
I love this movie. I don't. You mentioned something earlier about this being like notable for one specific thing.
I think I said notorious.
And I don't know what that thing is.
Oh my God, you're so clueless.
I feel
well,
I'm in a bad position here.
During the filming of this movie, Joe Pesci beat a man to death for saying he was funny.
Am I a clown to you?
No. But, I mean, the reason that this is notorious is because Marissa Tomei, who plays Mona Lisa Gambino in this movie.
Yes.
That's not the right name.
No, but it's something like that. It's something that arch.
Yeah. She won the Oscar for her role in this movie. And it was controversial. I mean, before Moonlight... the whole Moonlight debacle where La La Land was announced instead of Moonlight. This was the thing that people talked about when they talked about Oscar mistakes. Because a lot of people believed, and there was actually a rumor, that the announcer had announced the wrong movie or the wrong guest in a La La Land-like situation.
Oh, and so they thought, like, Marissa Tomei was the mistake. Like, she shouldn't have gotten it?
Yeah, that's right. And they just decided to save face to roll with it.
No way.
Because she deserves it!
She deserves it! She's so good in this movie.
She's amazing. Marissa Tomei makes this movie.
She does make this movie. This movie, and why I love this movie is because it's kind of like, Ralph Macchio has second billing, Joe Pesci has first, and Marissa Tomei has third. But it's her movie.
It's her movie.
It's about her. It's about her getting what she wants in this movie.
Exactly.
She's the one with the goal. She's the one that does everything to get it. Joe Pesci's kind of just along for the ride.
Well, you know what? It might be Joe Pesci's year this year because the other reason I wanted to talk about
because
this movie.
He's an Irishman.
He is in The Irishman, right. And he was also nominated for Best Supporting Actor. So this could be his year.
Or they could mistakenly call his name.
That's right. Yeah. But he's also up against like Al Pacino, also from The Irishman. So I don't know how that's going to turn out.
No.
You know, this seems like a violent situation.
They're just going to beat each other up in the parking lot with statues.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
But since this wave of Pesci mania is sweeping the land.
Are you a Pesci's? Is that your sign?
I'm an Aquatomeus.
That was such a mouthful.
Yeah, that was a struggle.
Yeah, that was a stretch.
But yeah, I thought this was the perfect time.
This is great.
Possibly the only time to talk about My Cousin Vinny. So that's what we're doing, Your Honor.
And the defense rests. So when did you first see this movie, Rob?
Well, it was a long time ago. I was very young. I'm pretty sure I saw it like shortly after it came out on video.
Right.
I remember my...
What year is this movie? This is like...
It's 1992.
Okay.
I remember that... My babysitter put it on.
Oh, yeah.
So I must have been like, I don't know, under 30.
Don't let him get too stoned. And put the popcorn in the microwave right before you go to bed. He likes to snack.
And the movie stood out for me. I just remember it being like so weird. And of course, like I already knew Joe Pesci from Home Alone.
Yeah.
And also like I vaguely knew him, I think, as a secondary character in the Lethal Weapon franchise.
Yeah, yeah. Leo Getz.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, Leo Getz.
So I thought he was sort of a fun actor. Mm-hmm. And the movie made an impression on me. And I haven't seen it since.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I just remember this like strange movie in which... Marissa Tomei, I mean, not saying that she doesn't deserve the Oscar, but the character is very loud.
Yeah.
So
big.
I wanted to understand as an adult what My Cousin Vinny was all about. And I thought this was a great opportunity.
So it's like one of those movies that you saw when you were a kid and you didn't have the full context of like what the laws were around this, like what was happening. And it like did.
I was not a legal expert. I didn't know. I knew little about jurisprudence.
That waited until high school for you. So that's good. Yeah, I was much the same way. Like I saw this when I was pretty young and I only remembered like them waking up a lot, like that being hilarious.
Right.
There's this running gag in the movie where they get woken up at 5 a.m. no matter where they are in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that being something. And I remember – and it's kind of crossed in my mind – with a few good men, like this like explosive thing on the stand where...
You want the truth?
Yeah.
You want the truth?
In my head, Marissa Tomei is saying it, though. Like she's...
It's a 64 Chevy Tempest.
That's the truth. So I feel like I've confused this movie with so many other movies. And then I watched it a few years ago because a friend of mine said that it was the movie that you kind of watch in law school.
Right.
Because it is... very accurate to the law. And a lot of the stuff that happens in this movie that feels like shenanigans in the courtroom actually do happen in a lot of trials.
Right.
So it's pretty accurate. And yeah, so I watched it again and I fell in love with it.
And you then, took notes to defend yourself in a court of law.
I did, yeah. I was like, this is how you cross. This is great.
And you got off with only probation and 1 year in the slammer. And
yeah, it was a misdemeanor.
We do this podcast with the glass.
Yeah, this is Earwolf at the same time. I loved it, and I am like one of the – I'll talk about this movie for so long. I love this movie so much.
Well,
so.
We have about an hour.
Okay, good. This is good because then I can talk it out and not bore people at parties anymore. So it's
maybe you'll get invited to one now.
This was the reason. No.
Okay, so My Cousin Vinny – It is a very old school movie.
Yeah.
It starts with Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, and another dude who is not the Karate Kid.
No, he feels like, is he like Helen Hunt's husband or something, like on Mad About You or something? He feels like the small version of that man.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I looked at his IMDb and he is mostly a voice actor now.
Okay.
But he has done a few sitcom-y sort of roles. He
right.
definitely didn't have the career that Ralph Macchio had.
Yeah. That amazing A-list star.
Well,
yeah.
Well, he had his hits. We still have to do Crossroads.
Oh, that's we do have to. No, you're right. I mean, Karate Kid was a huge movie, and we talked about that on this podcast.
Yeah.
But this guy was very good at like being put upon. He was a good guy at like being the sap kind of thing.
He looks very sensitive. Like he looks very vulnerable. Like he's kind of gonna cry throughout half of this movie.
He has the puppy dog eyes all the time.
Yeah. It's when you see him getting thrown through the legal system, you have like some empathy because you're like. He's a child. There's no way that he could commit a murder, even though, you know, when I see two teenage boys in a car, I think probably psychopaths.
Wait, you were once a teenage boy in a car. Come on, man. That's why you know.
Exactly. And they'll never find the bodies.
Oh, my God.
But they are just – they're like going to school or something like that, transferring schools. It's not really a big deal.
To university for the first time or college in the States.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. And they're both from kind of New York boys, and so they're city boys.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy is pretty nervous about being in Alabama.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's seen The Deer Hunter.
Seen any movie about the South.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they stop at a gas station called the Sack O' Suds.
There's no washing machines in there.
No, it's a very confusing name. Yeah. I don't understand.
Also, this place is in the middle of nowhere. Like, it is just surrounded by woods on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, we have like 17 witnesses and they're looking out their windows and stuff. Like, where are these houses? It's crazy. Anyway.
Well, maybe you should have been on the defense team.
There. Yeah.
Like, this and location. Where are their houses? Objection. Who is this man?
Sustained. You can't sustain yourself.
But while they're there, Ralph Macchio wants a can of tuna, but he doesn't have any place to hold on to it. So he puts it in his pocket and he forgets it there.
Right.
And while they're driving down the road after this, they see a police car.
Yeah.
And Ralph Macchio knows that he's going to be in trouble because stealing tuna is a crime in Alabama.
Right. And they've, like, talked up the crime in Alabama that people get the chair for less kind of thing. They've been joking about that back and forth. So when we see the police officer, we're like, oh, man.
Well, I mean, some law enforcement in the South is notoriously corrupt, you know? Like traffic
stops.
Just in the South. Well, everywhere. But I mean, notoriously.
The
word of the day is notorious.
Yeah, so the cop gets out of the car and like pulls out a shotgun. It's like, I'm going to like murder these kids.
Yeah.
Which we see now and are like, yep. That's
how it works.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
This isn't like it's played for comedy in this, and with all the stuff that's happened with police since, this scene isn't very funny in the movie.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Like, the whole situation that they're caught in, I was watching with my girlfriend, and she was like, it's kind of hard to laugh at this because it's kind of dark.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, like, yeah, like.
Yeah, we're supposed to, like, laugh at the fact that the cop is responding out of sync with what's happening. Like, the cop is, like, responding way too harshly to, like, a mm-hmm. small – but that's the norm now. And so it's not funny. There's no joke in there anymore.
Yeah.
But they do get arrested and they go to jail.
Yeah, that's right. And they even sort of get a confession because Ralph Macchio doesn't know about the murder that has happened. He still thinks that they've arrested them for the tuna.
Right. Which is, that's how they're playing it. It's a big joke in the station where he's like, you know, you're going to get time for aiding and abetting. He's like, for that crime? It's so small. And you know, the cops are thinking, wow, they killed a man. So that's the disconnect.
Have you been made aware of your rights?
Yes.
You're willing to waive that right?
Yes, I'm willing to cooperate fully. I'll sign a statement or whatever makes this whole thing easier.
Good. That's good.
But I want you to know, Stan, he had nothing to do with it.
Did he help you plan it?
No, I mean, it wasn't planned out. You know, just like, you know, it just happened.
Did Stan try to stop you at any time?
No.
But yeah, Ralph Macchio in the most... this is the biggest stretch in the entire movie where they're like, because you killed a man. He goes, I killed a man? I killed a man? And they're like, that's confession. He didn't even go up at the end of his sentence. There's no question mark in that.
Your Honor!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but so since they've been arrested for murder, they're going to need a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And one thing about the legal system that I've learned is that lawyers cost money.
They don't have any money, even though they're city boys, even though they come from the city.
Yeah, no.
But they do have connections.
That's right. There is a lawyer in the family,
Childish Gambino. That's what you're just going to call him all the time.
You know.
Let's get it out of the way.
It's Joe Pesci. And he rolls into town with his fiance, played by Marissa Tomei, Lisa, they call her.
Yeah.
And right away, I mean, he cuts an interesting figure.
Yeah, he's dressed all in black. They're kind of like that 80s version of the, you know, the people that move into the house in Beetlejuice? You know, they're kind of like way too city this quaint town.
It's interesting you said Beetlejuice because I feel like Marissa Tomei was wearing an outfit like right out of Beetlejuice in one of those scenes.
And she had like a white streak through her hair. It's just like very Beetlejuice-esque.
Right, you know. You know the artist, the musician St. Vincent? I feel like St. Vincent was stealing like all of Marissa Tomei's outfits from this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, can we just take 20 minutes to talk about the backless jumpsuit with the floral pattern?
Oh, man. And then there's like that like football equipment jacket she's wearing with like the
shoulder pads.
Yeah, the shoulder pads that are out to there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's amazing.
But what I love about her character right off the bat is that she's way smarter than Joe Pesci.
Oh, for sure.
And she's like kind of the smartest character in this movie and doesn't take any bullshit either.
No.
She's charming. She's smart. And we like her right away.
Mm-hmm.
Also because it's kind of a cop comes up and is like, you don't know anything about cars and like laughs. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, she does.
She does.
Yeah, that's her defining character trait, I'd say.
But so Joe Pesci goes to meet with the defendants, and this is a scene because they're in prison. And
oh, man.
If I've heard one thing about prison, it's that they have a library where you can go and get educated and help your skills so that you can find a productive job once you're outside of the pen.
Oh, no, they're in Alabama, so the books cost money.
Sorry, the one thing I know about prison in Alabama is...
Yeah, they are afraid of everything because they're city kids, and so they're afraid of Alabama, but they're also afraid of prison and dropping the soap in the shower, which they bring up. Yeah, it's... I read this article where this prison actually tried to put like liquid soap dispensers in the shower, thinking that would solve it somehow. It's like it wasn't dropping the soap that was the thing, guys. It was the whole. Anyway, it's a weird mix up again where the teens think that. Or the one teen thinks that Joe Pesci is coming in to maybe, from the movie, make him his prison bitch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. While Ralph Macchio is conveniently asleep.
Yeah. And I feel like this is one of those jokes that doesn't really hold up because, I mean, it's not really great to laugh at the expense of prisoners being sexually assaulted. Yeah. Especially because...
Victims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them are there because of a little prison industrial complex and the school, the prison pipeline and all of that stuff.
Right.
There's a whole systematic injustice thing.
Yeah. And it's a really rough go in a lot of prisons, especially in the States.
Yeah.
So maybe let's not make fun of that in a comedy movie.
That said, though, I did laugh at it because I'm a terrible person.
Well, also, the actor plays it really well.
Really well done.
Yeah.
And I think maybe you can even, like, view it as a scene which is, like, critical of that assumption that, you know, once you go to prison, you're going to be raped by the first person that you see.
Right.
Because, you know... He's not.
Yeah, we never are shown prison again. This is the only scene in prison.
Yeah, and they spend a lot of time in prison. So if it happened, I'm sure it would be in there.
Yeah, that'd hopefully be more of a
Or
thing.
He just has a 1,000-yard stare during the trial.
Oh, my God. That'd be horrible.
Oh, God.
But Joe Pesci is there to get them off. See, it doesn't work, anything you say, but is there to help them in their defense.
But he's not very good because they find out that he has only been a lawyer for 6 weeks. And Ralph Macchio asks him, like, well, wait, didn't you pass the bar exam 6 years ago? And he's like, yeah, what you been doing since then? Studying.
Right.
And he also admits that he has failed the bar exam 6 times.
Yeah.
A lot of sixes.
A lot of
is
sixes.
Is Joe Pesci's character the devil?
Maybe, potentially. I think you could make the case. It's also, we find out that, like, Marissa Tomei, they've been waiting this entire time since he became a lawyer to pass the bar for him to win his first case so they can get married.
Yeah.
So I think a bit of it is him just putting off marriage for a long time.
It could be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does explain later because at first he totally fucks up the case. Like, you know, during the arraignment, he won't shut up, and so he gets himself thrown into contempt when all he's really supposed to say is guilty or not guilty. But he doesn't know the procedure of the law, as he explains, and the only way to learn the procedure of the law is either to
read a book, which he has.
No, it's not. He says it's you either have to go work for a firm who will teach you, or you have to go attend court. And he didn't have time to attend court because he was too busy working at her father's garage.
Right. Yeah, but
which I sort of buy. Like, that's like a real sort of like, you know, this guy's a lower class dude. Lawyers are all these rich motherfuckers passing around their legacies. And they're like, oh, my son will get into Harvard because I was in Harvard Law. Blah, 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 blah. This guy,
oh my God.
You know, he becomes a lawyer because he has an infraction. He makes a connection with the judge. It's a good story.
Yeah, the judge is from Brooklyn too, so it's like, oh, a good old boy, like made it, you know, just like me from my neighborhood. Like it made me think I can make it too, and it's great. And that's like being explained while the judge literally gives him the book on how to do this.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Marissa Tomei does read the book later and learns all the procedure and helps him out, but he learns it the hard way. And I think that's what he's known in his life. Right?
Yeah,
he also lies to the judge and says that he's like this criminal defense lawyer who's been on many cases and got off many murderers.
Yeah, that's pretty questionable.
Yeah, lying to a judge your first day on the job.
Well, yeah. Not advisable.
No.
But it sort of works for him. But so they start trying the case. And he does start to get a little bit better. He starts to read, though he does continually get thrown in contempt for wearing the wrong clothes, for not knowing the procedures. And eventually one of the dudes, the buddy, wants to take a chance with the public defender.
Yeah, and the public defender is kind of this big dweeb. And I think he should have gotten nominated for something for this character. He's great.
Austin Pendleton.
Which is the perfect name for that character, even, not just the actor. But he plays it so well, and he has a stutter, which he can't get over on the stand. So that's difficult for him, and he's not a very good lawyer either.
No. It's not just the stutter. If it was just the stutter, I would feel bad because I don't know, give the guy a break. But also, when he is cross-examining the witnesses, he just doesn't seem to have anything to ask them. He doesn't seem to get what's going on. He doesn't have any insights.
We intend to prove that the prosecution's case is circumstantial and coincidental. Thank you.
That's it. What about everything we talked about?
Well, I get a little nervous.
A little nervous.
I'm getting better.
And Joe Pesci, eventually, he starts figuring out, like, how to do this, how to cross-examine the witnesses, how to actually do the lawyer thing.
Yeah, and I think that's all because of Marissa Tomei. Marissa Tomei is kind of like, you know, the woman behind every man. There's a woman that's doing a lot of work. And so for him, it's Marissa Tomei reading the book and arguing with him about the facts of the case.
Yeah.
And telling him to shape up.
Yeah.
Being like, you know, you need to get a suit. Yeah, you need to do these things. You need to not be waking up every hour of the night with all these things going on around town.
Right.
So they do kind of run around town a lot, go from hotel to hotel trying to find a place where they can actually sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
And the one place they find is in the middle of a field in their car.
Yeah, that's right.
And that ends up bad because they get stuck in the mud and his suit gets covered in mud and he needs to like wear this silly, stupid, like,
yeah,
thrift store.
I don't even know what kind of outfit it is.
Like what a flying squirrel would wear to prom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Yeah, or like somebody who's like in part of like a Tex-Mex gospel choir. I don't know.
That's pretty good too. Yeah, he wears it and the judge is...
But he pulls it off.
He pulls it off.
That's not like... He kind of has the perfect body for it.
I also like his relationship with the judge because the judge keeps on trying to catch him out because he's like, you know, he grumbles like, fuck you, judge, like whatever right. you say, you know, and the judge keeps on trying to call him out on things that he said. And Joe Pesci also says all these things that are very like, you know, street-isms, like colloquialisms that he uses.
I'm done with this guy.
Yeah, exactly. So the judge is always trying to like, he's like, what is a ute? He's like, you know, a youths. That's what I'm saying, a youth. So the judge keeps on trying to catch him out on certain things, but he doesn't really hear. And Joe Pesci does that, like, gaslighting thing.
Mm-hmm.
The judge is like, what did you just say? He's like, what did I say? What did you say? What do you think I said? You know, he just totally gaslights him on all the things.
Yeah. And, that's of course, great. The judge is played by Fred Gwynne, and you know who he was.
I don't.
He famously played Herman Munster.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Munsters are kind of like the Addams Family, except they didn't make any good movies about them.
Poor Munsters.
Yeah, maybe they'll have their time.
If they were monsters,
yeah.
Plenty of movies about monsters.
Yeah. But, and this was actually his last role before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a great role. He's very funny in this movie.
He is great.
Yeah. And he also keeps on trying to catch Joe Pesci having lied to him about being a lawyer.
Yeah, that's
right.
Because
he knows that he's not a lawyer. He knows he's never been in trial before. Like, the way this guy is doing is work, it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
So he keeps on trying to – and Joe Pesci's like, oh, you mean you tried to look up this guy?
You looked up Gallo?
Yeah.
It was Callow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all the time he's just kind of doing the bait and switch on him. And so it's pretty exasperating. And then it comes down to the point where he's like, I'm going to phone. I'm going to find out. And they're like, well, the person will phone you back with this information in 2.5 hours. And he's like, so either we find out you're a lawyer in the next 2.5 hours or you miraculously win this case. And so he needs to win the case in the next 2.5 hours to not be thrown in jail permanently.
Yeah.
For lying to a judge.
Raising the stakes.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
And he does – I mean, it's pretty spectacular, the last like act of this movie.
Oh.
Where he doesn't really know what he's going to do. Like, he's already sort of pissed off Marissa Tomei because, you know, he was too involved in the work. He wasn't appreciating her help.
Yeah, she's taking all these photos of the crime scene, and she's really working the case. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm eating breakfast. Let me alone.
Well, he did do stuff as well. He also went out to the crime scene and talked to all the witnesses.
Talked to all
again.
The witnesses, yeah.
You know, there's Maury Chaykin there, who I would, not to brag, but I once peed beside that guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right. We were urinal buddies. I was urinal buddies with witness number two.
That's amazing. Oh, the brushes with fame.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He did not wash his hands.
Oh, no.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. But anyway, he figures out while looking at the photographs that something isn't right. And so he calls Lisa, his fiance, to the stand. And she is still pissed off at him.
Yeah. I love that he like makes the bailiff keep her in there. And then like the judge has to make her answer and stuff like that. She really doesn't want to work with him. And so he kind of approaches it like, prove me wrong. Am I wrong in this case? Like, this is my assumption. Am I wrong? And she goes, yes, you are.
Yeah.
And it's such a great moment because you think the case is completely lost. But he's right in the – he's wrong in the best way.
Yeah. Because she – I mean, let's play a clip. Boop.
Oh, wow. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Sometimes I think of this thing.
You see, when the left tire mark goes up on the curb and the right tire mark stays flat and even, well, the 64 Skylark had a solid rear axle. So when the left tire would go up on the curb, the right tire would tilt out and ride along its edge. But that didn't happen here. The tire mark stayed flat and even. This car had an independent rear suspension. Now, In the 60s, there were only two other cars made in America that had positive traction and independent rear suspension and enough power to make these marks.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I mean,
she knows her shit.
She knows her shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it sounds impressive to me, who doesn't know anything about cars.
I think they have tires, right?
Case closed.
This lady clearly knows what she's talking about. These kids are innocent.
Yeah, and like it impresses them so much that they dismiss the case.
Yeah, well, the sheriff does kind of help out too, because he goes on a hunch, quote unquote.
Right.
Joe Pesci sends him on and finds the real culprits that did it that were already arrested.
And car that could have made those skid marks, one of them was reported stolen a few counties over or something like that. So it all sort of comes together.
And they have the murder weapon too, which is case closed there.
Yeah.
So.
So it all works out well for them. Ralph Macchio and his little friend get to go free.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei, they run out of the courtroom because he wants to get out of there before...
The judge catches him out for lying.
But Marissa Tomei, once again, saving the day. She had Joe Pesci's friend, judge, who, you know, was his mentor or whatever, call or send a fax saying that Joe Callow was a real respected attorney.
I love that she got someone else to commit, like, a federal crime.
Yeah.
On his behalf. Yeah, but he made good. And now they get to get married, and they just argue into the sunset. That's the rest of their lives.
It's beautiful.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of it is pretty accurate to what actually happened in the courtroom.
Right.
Is what I'm told.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll get into a little bit of that, but we also have the trivia and the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Perfect.
After this legal recess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Court is back in session.
All rise.
We're addressing the case of My Cousin Vinny. Pesci versus world.
Well, that's the other thing. Can you even defend? Like, you can defend yourself, but can you defend a family member? Is that weird?
No, I think it's probably fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's your legal opinion?
But also, like, they're cousins, right? It's not like it's his, like, brother or whatever. But I'm sure you can. There's no conflict of interest.
All right.
Yeah.
Can you prosecute your cousin?
I don't know. Do you have some cousins that you want to prosecute?
I don't know. Some cousins stole some toys from me when I was a kid.
All right. Yeah. Small claims court for you. Okay, so Blaine, I have some trivia questions for you like we do. And
that's great.
First, I want you to swear on this Bible.
I'm an atheist, so...
Okay, we can throw you in contempt of court.
What?
Bailiff?
No.
Oh, I also want to mention that the bailiff in this movie had the most amazing mustache. It is like a straight line.
Man,
straight line.
I wanted that guy to be at my Little League games and say, you did a good job.
Yeah.
He was like the most fatherly guy. Like, Joe Pesci comes in a suit and he's like, you did good, kid. Like, you know, he has that, he never speaks a word. He just has that smile. So nice.
Yeah, he's great. So I think some of these are going to be difficult for you.
Just looking at you, just knowing from what I know of you. Okay, go on.
Okay, so the first question. This movie is infamous for a moment when Marissa Tomei won Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, yeah.
There was a rumor that the presenter had misspoke or read the wrong name.
Right.
Who was the presenter of this actor award?
Oh, man, if it was Warren Beatty, that would have been amazing.
Yeah. We're not letting you do this again.
No, maybe it's someone that, like, does fuck up a lot on stage. John Travolta? Was it John Travolta?
Dina Menzel.
My beautiful, beautiful. He touched her face so much when he made up with her. So gross. Anyway, who was it?
No, it was Jack Palance. Yeah, from City Slickers.
That's who I would have guessed.
Come on. Balance. And then he did 10 push-ups on the stage.
I'm strong.
I love that guy, though.
Yeah, he's good.
You know, I just wanted to take this opportunity to forgive him, whoever he is, and his identical twin brother.
He didn't do anything wrong. No. Marissa Tomei won.
No, I guess that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man's mom won.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's Spider-Man's mom.
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck?
That's how so many kids are just going to know her. That sucks.
I mean, Spider-Man's mom is hot.
She's a beautiful woman that has aged very gracefully.
Blaine, she's a babe in this movie. She's a babe!
I know.
And also special mention for The Wrestler. Which she was also won the Oscar for that movie as well. Didn't she?
Yeah.
Or was she was nominated?
I don't know.
I think she won. Anyway.
Okay. That should be a trivia question. I get it wrong for you.
You know what? What was the other movie? Okay. The second trivia question.
If it's who was a babe in this movie, I'm going to be so upset.
Well, there's a lot of answers to that. Could be Maury Chicken. Okay. So in which Clint Eastwood movie does Joe Pesci appear as a pivotal character?
Oh my God! I'm gonna say it's not a Western. Am I close?
You're or was not it, a Western.
Or was it a Western?
It wasn't a Western.
I'm gonna say it's not a Western. There we go. This is like a magic trick where you just keep on taking piles of cards away. Okay, so
was he?
Yeah, exactly.
Was there a bombing in Atlanta?
Was it like Play Misty for Me or something?
No.
Oh,
sorry, Blaine.
It. What was it?
Joe Pesci was a character in Jersey Boys. The movie directed by Clint Eastwood.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Jersey Boys.
Feeling lucky. Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
That sucks. I thought it was like an older movie.
No. Well, see, the reason that he's in the movie is because Joe Pesci was an essential part of bringing together Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. The real Joe Pesci.
Life.
Yes.
Wow.
The real Joe Pesci before he got his start in acting was a singer.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he went under the name Joe
Frankie
Ritchie.
Callow.
And he had an album called
Joe Ritchie.
Little Joe Sure Can Sing. And I listened to one track and it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. But
oh,
you know, he was in the music industry. I think he also played guitar on like a pretty famous song as well.
Okay.
But he introduced Frankie Valli to his songwriting partner, Bob Gaudio.
Wow.
And then they wrote all those fucking annoying Four Seasons songs like, you know, Sherry Baby and Oh What a Night.
All right.
And all of that stuff.
So you're a fan is what you're saying.
I'm a fan. So Joe Pesci is in the musical as a character and also in the movie.
Oh, wow.
Where he's played...
As himself.
He's not in the movie as himself. The character of Joe Pesci's in the movie.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and he's played by a guy named, like, Joey Russo. So you can imagine Joe Pesci's...
One of the Russo brothers?
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought, too.
It's amazing.
But you can imagine what Joe Pesci's impressions might be about seeing himself portrayed on screen in a movie.
I would not take that part if I was that actor.
No, because his body hasn't been found. But they're combing the desert. No.
Oh, man, they could have de-aged him like in The Irishman or something.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, man. Put Joe Pesci in. He's good.
Well, Joe Pesci's like a tough guy. Like, he's like very old school. Like, there's a story where they wanted to get him for something, and in the research... He admitted that he doesn't this is kind of disgusting, so prepare yourself. He doesn't perform oral sex on women because he thinks it's disgusting.
What
degrading as a man.
What are all these old Hollywood guys doing? Like, who said that going down on his wife gave him cancer?
Michael Douglas.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't want cancer, do you?
That's the worst. Oh, my. They're missing out.
They're missing out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do have a third trivia question for you. So in this movie, Marissa Tomei helps win the case by explaining that the tire tracks could have only been made by a certain vehicle, like the 1963 right. Chevy Tempest
with
or whatever.
Positive traction, yeah.
Positive traction, yeah. This turns out not to be true.
Oh.
Why is it not true?
Because Chevy never made a lime green. I don't know. I have no idea.
Wrong.
Okay. I'm going to say that no car, like, going up, because she describes, like, going up on the curb with positive traction would have kept one tire squarely on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that ever happens. I think the axle would keep the tires straight
right.
on the ground at all times.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that may be true. I'm not sure. Not okay. a mechanic.
Okay.
But you are wrong. The reason is that there was a third car made in the 60s that would have been able to do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And apparently the screenwriter, who just didn't do any research for the auto mechanical parts, the dialogue, he just sort of wrote it from memory. He knew that there was a third car, but was hoping that nobody would catch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Which is an interesting lawyer trick.
The third car.
Guilty, Your Honor.
It's like a new Graham Greene novel. All right.
The third car.
So I did do a tiny smattering of research, and I did find that they were going to make a sequel. Is that's true, right? They were going to make a little bit of a sequel?
They were going to make a sequel.
Like it's written?
Yeah, there was a screenplay and everything, but Marissa Tomei didn't want to return, and so eventually it was canceled.
Yeah. I think that means the script was bad. I think that's what that means.
Well, it could mean that, but also, I mean, she won an Oscar for it. I mean, why would you want to return to something that, you know,
already perfected?
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
But it was going to be, like, set in the UK, and he had to, like, defend a case in the UK and learn all their rules.
Yeah.
And, like, wear the wig and
wear
stuff.
Wear the wig. It wouldn't have been good.
That would have been fun. Joe Pesci in a wig. Great.
I'm not sure that they would be able to get him to do that. I'm kind of surprised that they were able to get him to, like, play, like, kind of gay in the scene, like, even, like, as a misunderstanding, just because he doesn't seem like a guy who is willing to do things.
Step outside his comfort zone?
Yeah. That said, though, I actually do love his performance in this movie. Like, in some moments, he is, like, really earnest and, like, that is a quality that we just are not used to seeing from him, and I think that it sort of works. And
he is vulnerable a lot, which is great.
Yeah. And I think he's a real curveball for, like, a lead in this movie. Like, I can picture somebody like Nicolas Cage being given this role.
Sure.
I can picture somebody like, I don't know.
Thank God it wasn't Nicolas Cage. Thank God.
It could have been. Could have been amazing on a whole different level.
Yeah.
But he's such a unique-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of, like, a lot of people that I knew up north who, you know, were, you know, part Italian or, like, you know, French-Canadian, like, little squat, scrappy guys.
Yeah.
I love the part in the movie as well when...
Oh, man.
I know
what you're going to say.
He's trying to collect the hustle from the redneck guy,
yeah,
JT.
Yeah, because this guy kind of hustled Lisa out of some money and then never paid her.
Well, she
her.
Hustled him,
yeah.
And he never paid her.
Yeah.
But so Joe Pesci goes to fight him, and then he's like, well, I'll fight you if you have the $200, but he doesn't have the $200. But when he finally does have the $200 and is ready to fight, he just does, like, this sort of, like, leaping punch.
It was a Superman punch for sure.
It was a Superman punch.
And I love it. Because he doesn't have much strength.
He launches himself.
So he launches all, like, 150 pounds at himself, like, at this guy's face.
It's amazing.
And they both tumble down together, and then he gets up and counts his money. It's so great. And I think there's, you know, in the 80s with all the tough guy action heroes that would just kind of, like, throw their arm in the air and seven people would get punched into oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so nice to see someone commit to a punch on screen.
Yeah, but also, like, small, scrappy guys, right?
Oh, man.
Like,
yeah,
you don't mess
with small guys.
They like to fight. They like to show that they're the big dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the behind the scenes of this movie, it was inspired by, in the 70s, the screenwriter met somebody who was actually waiting to pass the bar exams, and they talked about what would happen if he didn't pass, and the guy said he just had to take it again. And so they got to talking, and he asked, what's the most times that somebody has failed the bar exam?
Right.
And apparently the record, at least at that time, was 13.
Oh, my Lord.
But so
13 years of your life.
Yeah. The screenwriter thought, like, oh, wow, like, you know, 13 times. But, like, he did eventually pass it. So, like, the guy who failed the bar 13 times is out there practicing law somewhere.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of the seed of this movie.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and originally they didn't think to get Joe Pesci. There was another name that they were hoping for. Do you want to take a guess?
This wasn't part of the trivia. Warren Beatty.
No. Robert De Niro.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. Poor Joe Pesci. Pesci's oft co-star.
The overshadowing Robert De Niro.
Well, they've done like four movies together, like Raging Bull and Goodfellas and Casino and I guess now The Irishman.
Right.
Oh, I think they're also maybe in A Bronx Tale together.
Oh, yeah.
But that was in a Martin Scorsese movie.
I just assume they live together with Scorsese. In the same
house. They all sleep in the same bed. Yeah, Robert De Niro, Martin Scorsese, and Joe Pesci. Yeah. But then, like, Leo started coming over. And Robert De Niro was starting to get sulky about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, one thing I forgot to mention was that it was during the filming of this movie that Joe Pesci won his Oscar for Goodfellas.
Oh, wow.
And actually, there was a take done where, you know, one of the many scenes where Joe Pesci is waking up.
Right.
Or actually, it was the scene where he is sleeping like a baby finally. When he did it, he was holding the Oscar statuette for the first take.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
That's kind of good.
Man, they should have had a scene in this movie where he couldn't get a good night's sleep, so he just did the contempt of court to get a good night's sleep in the prison.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Yeah. They also considered some other people for some of the other roles. I'm sure Ralph Macchio was always in there, but can you guess who they wanted to get for Stan at one point? You can't. It was Will
Eminem.
Smith.
Ah, it was Will Smith?
Yeah.
Oh, another rapper.
Okay. Close. Yeah.
Well, that was pretty close. You just said Stan, and so I thought. But that's so great. That would have been great. Will Smith?
Yeah.
That could have been good. It also because...
6 degrees of separation. This was prime Will Smith.
Yeah. And just the race angle, too. Because this is like... It's just a bunch of white people in this movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that there's another angle you could have taken with this movie as well, not being welcome in the South. So that would have been a great angle to play for his friend or even for the Ralph Macchio character.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't think I'd be able to laugh at all at that movie.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's like a couple of white guys... I can expect that, you know, maybe they'll get off.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah,
but, I don't know. Yeah, there's been way too much shit.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, true. That even makes this movie a little less funny. So.
But even, like, you know, even... Yeah, it's already, like, not very funny. There's still a lot of injustice for all sorts of people down south. And, yeah, especially in, like, you know, the past.
Yeah.
Probably the present.
Yeah.
But this movie had a bit of a legacy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard Joe Pesci's album? Not the Little Joey Sure Can Sing.
Okay.
It is the Vincent LaGuardia Sings Just For You album. The album where Joe Pesci performs in character.
Oh, no. What? Just For You?
For all of us.
I haven't heard it.
Well.
Should we play a little for the audience?
If we can.
Let's do it.
But the most, I mean, there's some amazing tracks on here.
Okay.
One of them is a track where Joe Pesci raps, sort of a la Deborah Harry in Rapture.
Okay.
In a song called Wise Guys.
Okay.
And he's like a wise guy.
Do you have the lyrics there?
No, I don't. But it's like sort of trying to cash in on like the association between hip hop and gangsters that happened, you know, back then, you know, the Scarface and all of that
stuff. Sure, yeah.
And, you know, it's pretty impressive production. It's done by a team that produced for like Puff Daddy and all of those people. So like, you know, they had the guys behind it.
So weird that Joe Pesci was in that studio.
So weird.
Just and like, oh, Joe, you're gonna like sing? Like you? No, I'm gonna rap. Oh, okay. Like it's Joe Pesci. Maybe the you know that'll no no no. As my character from this one movie. You okay, Joe? You okay? That's so funny. That's great.
Yeah.
like that a lot. Did you hear, did you stick around for the song at the end of the credit song?
I did, because I heard it describing the exact plot of the movie.
Well, it was a New York attorney about to take a southern journey into places that he'd never been. She was a brunette out of Brooklyn, fast talking and good looking, with a body that was made for sin. And she wanted him for marriage, cause the torch that she carried was harder than the fires of hell. But he said he didn't need her, still she followed him down deep into the buckle of a Bible belt. She begged and she pleaded and she told him all she needed was a little tender love and care.
It's amazing. I think this is how far it got, and then it was never done again. Because like, there's a lot of 80s movies where the song at the end recaps the whole movie. But this is like 92.
Yeah.
This is pretty late into the game to still be doing that. And yeah, especially on like a quasi-serious movie.
Yeah. But also like a country singer.
Yeah.
And this
but
one,
he's kind of like rapping too. Like he's singing really fast country.
I don't know. Well, it's fast country. Don't, you know, I don't want to start anything. You know, well, the South is full of
Little Nas X.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
now it'd be cool. But back then, I mean, this is Travis Tritt.
Yeah. Oh,
the one and the only.
Yeah.
With a little, what's it, it's like called Bible Belt or something like that.
Yeah, he's like a couple of boys from New York coming on down. It's like the worst.
It's kind of like the devil went down to Georgia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ralph Macchio went down to Alabama. All right, man.
Well, at the crossroads.
No. God damn, you bringing up crossroads again. We're never doing crossroads.
We're doing crossroads. Yeah, there was also a Bollywood version of this movie.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. I can't wait to watch that. Yeah. I'm watching that.
That's got to be pretty amazing.
So soon.
Yeah. One thing that was I found kind of interesting about this movie was that the studio actually wanted to get rid of Marissa Tomei's character.
That's sounds like a studio.
Yeah, that's right. And in order to keep the character, the screenwriter reluctantly added a scene that was requested by the studio president where Vinny's girlfriend complained that he's not giving her enough attention.
You know what? He did really well with that scene in terms of making it like true
not
to the
awful
characters and like actually entertaining to watch.
Because
they have that whole sink debate with, like, the tap turned off or not. And they both make their cases in, like a kind of sexual come-on way.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird, but fits both their characters really well.
It fits both their characters really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, my God.
That is the closing argument.
We are done. The defense rests.
Well, maybe this is the closing argument.
Yeah. I mean, this has to be the statement.
Do you want to cross-examine the witness?
Well, what did you think, Rob? That'd be a bad lawyer. What do you think?
Well, I don't think I killed that person, that's for sure.
Did it hold up from when you were a kid?
Yeah, I found it really enjoyable. And in a lot of ways, it's a simple movie. Like, for example, like there's no real bad guys in the movie.
No.
Even the prosecutor played by Lane Smith, Pa Kent.
Yeah.
He's such like a good guy. And like at one point they like go hunting together and it seems like they have like a jovial sort of it kind of seems like that's how lawyers actually act, at least from what I've seen on all the law shows I watch.
Yeah.
Good Wife.
The only one to watch.
Michael J. Fox's character is coming back for The Good Fight.
Oh, nice.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Ugh, so good.
Okay.
But
I've only seen the pilot, so.
Yeah, and it's such like it seems so old fashioned, so like, you know, but it works. I like the earnesty of the Vinny character slowly, you know, figuring out what he needs to do. I like the relationship between him and Marissa Tomei. It's a little bit outdated, but it's also like comical. And all the other characters are great. The judge, the public defender.
Yeah.
The one weird thing is that we kind of don't get a lot of Ralph Macchio after.
Ralph Macchio should not have been second billed in this movie. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, it's weird because, like, they win the case and, like, Joe Pesci's like, don't even say words, you know.
Yeah.
When, like, he just has, like, a look of relief on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He's so relieved that he didn't have to unleash his karate skills upon the innocents. Like his master taught him not to.
He could have killed everyone in that courtroom.
He killed everyone.
I know. It would have been bad.
But yeah, I mean, I wish that there was like a little bit more of them because we...
Machia?
Well, we just sort of lose them. So,
yeah, fair enough.
I don't know. But I think it's a fun movie. It's a real like oddity. And yeah, it's to be appreciated.
I think if you've never seen this movie, you got to see this movie because it's so fun. There's so many good little lines that people have. It's really witty that way.
Mm-hmm.
And to see Marissa Tomei just take over a movie is so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Have you seen Happy Accidents?
No.
It's this movie with Vincent D'Onofrio, and it's like an indie drama comedy. It's a rom-com about like sci-fi rom-com.
Okay.
And she takes over that movie too. It's just so much fun to watch her act. She's so good at it. She takes such enjoyment in it.
Yeah.
And she's one of my favorite actresses. So it's great to see her kind of like in her breakout role where everyone was like, oh, I want her in my movie now forever and always. So it's just fun to watch that. And Joe Pesci's a treat. The writing's great. And I love the fact that there's no villain in this.
Yeah. It feels more true to life.
It feels like everyone is actually trying to get to the truth. Like the prosecutor is doing his job, being like, there's no other possible culprit. So I'm trying to put these murderers in jail. Like, it feels very real to him.
Yeah.
I just love everything about it. So if you haven't seen it, see it. If you haven't seen it in a long time, it's definitely worth a rewatch. There's so many lines that you don't remember that are worth it.
Yeah.
I'm done with this guy. I'm done with this movie. This movie's great. I'm done with it. So go watch it.
Yeah. Agreed. So that is rewatchability for this week. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. That's where you download it. That's where you rate us 5 stars.
Oh, man. Or you can go to, like, you know, Stitcher, Podcasts.
Pocket Casts,
Podbean.
All of them.
Yeah.
There's lots of places to listen to the podcast.
Pandora.
Yes. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can communicate with us there. We're on Twitter, where you can tweet at us, and we're also on Instagram as well. And, you can buy a T-shirt from TeePublic.
And tell a friend about the podcast if you can't go to Patreon.com.
Yeah, and you can contribute to our legal fees through Patreon.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.